We are in our giving series, and we began our series with the first message entitled Realigning Our Focus. And I shared with the body of Christ that God is calling the church to realign its focus, and that at this stage we have to keep a kingdom mindset and remember why God have called us into existence. And then last week, I shared with you five ways that a church achieves oneness through giving. And we talked about oneness was the singleness of heart. It was a condition of being undivided or in agreement. And we talked about, as God sees our commitment to oneness, He will bring us into a place where we have all things in common. And in that place, there'll be a greater measure of power and influence. The spirit of grace and favor will rest upon us. God will destroy the spirit of lack, and where meeting the needs of others will become the focal point of the church. Am I doing all right? And so today, I'm going to talk with you from a subject, developing your faith. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse number 1 through verse number 15. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the woman was there gathering of sticks, and he called her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thy hand. And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and her house did eat many days. Developing your faith. How does a Christian or a believer develop their faith? Let's start in Hebrews chapter number 11, verse number 6. If you're writing notes, I want you to write this in your notes. In order to please God, you must have faith. Hebrews 11 and 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And so in order to please God, you must have faith. This is why I'm consistently teaching you that you must believe in God. You must believe that there is a God, and you must believe in His Word. You must believe that He is the key or the link to whatever you will need in life. And so in order to please God, you must have faith. And so, Pastor, somebody would say, well, what is faith? What to me is faith, Pastor? If you're taking notes, I want you to write this down. Faith is belief in the unseen. Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. When you look at that phrase, things hoped for, it translates to things expected. And so faith is the substance of things hoped for. In other words, it's the substance of things expected. Let me give you an example. Can I do that? When everybody came in here this morning and you sat down on the chair, you did not check to see if the chair was going to hold you up before you sat in. In other words, you expected that the manufacturer that constructed this chair had did what he was supposed to do, and before you sat down, you didn't even have to consider that the chair was going to hold you up. So it is the substance of things expected. That's what faith is. How many of you drove here this morning? All of us probably did have a driver's license. If not, you rode with somebody that did. Or they was driving illegal, but that's another message. But anyway, you had a key to your car. And when you took the key, you put the key into the ignition and you turned the ignition clockwise in order to start the vehicle. And you expected that when you turned the key, that the spark plugs was going to fire and the gasoline was going to come from the carburetor and shoot into the places that it need to, and what? The car was going to start. And so that's the expectation. You didn't pop the trunk before, pop the hood before you went out in the car and check the gas to see if it was going to shoot to the carburetor and pull all the spark plugs and see if they were going to fire when you turned the key. Because you had an expectation that when you put the key in there and you turned it clockwise, that the car was going to start. Am I doing all right? How many of you turned the light on this morning before you got here? Unless you slept in the lights. Some of us sleep in the lights and don't sleep in the dark. That's another message. I'll preach that in a couple of weeks. But nevertheless, when you came to the light switch and you flipped the light switch up, you had an expectation that the current was going to run through the proper channels and hit the right thing that it needed to check, and that the light would come on in the room. And that's what faith is. It's belief in the unseen. Nobody here, when they shut on the light, ran outside to check and see if the power was going to run from the switch and hit the transmitter and then come back and the light was going to come on. Why? Because you had an expectation. Am I doing all right? And so that's what faith is. It's belief in the unseen. It's an expectation. Am I doing all right? So I want to give you five ways how God develops our faith. Let's go back to 1 Kings chapter 17, verse number 1. Notice here that Elijah spoke out of his mouth to Ahab the king, that there shall not be dew nor rain 3 years, but according to what? My word. So the first way that God develops your faith is by what comes out of your mouth. Let's go to Proverbs chapter number 18, verse number 21. The Bible says that death and life, is in the power of the tongue. Am I in the Word? I want everybody to see this. Everybody got Proverbs 18:21. I want to build your faith this morning. Can I build your faith? The Bible says that death and life or in the power of the tongue. Most of us, when we quote this scripture, say that life and death is in the power of the tongue. But the scripture says that death and life is in the power of the tongue. Why do you think that death came before life? Here's my belief. I believe that because most Christians consistently speak death instead of life. And so this is one of the ways that God builds faith by what comes out of your mouth. I monitored how we have spoken about the development of this ministry since its inception, and watch how we spoke life about the things that we needed, and we watched God back it up. In other words, God performed what he said. I can remember when we first came in here, our first Sunday, January 16, we had a prayer agenda, and I said in 90 days we wanted to start a children's church ministry. And we spoke that out of our mouth, and in 90 days we started children's church. I remember how we spoke out of our mouths that we needed equipment and that God was going to provide and that God was going to bless. And we kept speaking and we kept speaking. And we started out with an ugly brown lectern with a corded mic that was loaned by the school. And LeVar used to stand back there and he used to adjust the bass and treble, even though there really wasn't a real sound box. But we were speaking faith. Am I doing all right? We were speaking faith out of our mouths. The Bible says in Romans 4:17 that God who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. We have the power to call those things that aren't as though they were. It's based upon what you're speaking out of your mouth. You don't have no money? Watch what you're speaking. Your husband ain't acting right? Watch what you're speaking. Because you're speaking out of your mouth, and if it's death, then that's what comes. If it's life, then that's what comes. Now here we are, standing in need of a facility, a building where we can better establish this work and do ministry more effective. And church, we got to begin to speak it. I say, church, we got to begin to speak it. I say, church, we got to begin to speak it out of our mouths that God will provide and God will give us what we need. Just as Elijah did in this text, he spoke out of his mouth that there would be no rain. We need to speak the things of God that we need and we desire, and watch God honor what comes out of our mouths as he releases it in his plan for our lives. Elijah spoke the word of the Lord. He said, there won't be no rain in this land for 3 years. And guess what? Wasn't no rain. Based upon what he said out of his mouth. Number two, the second way that God develops your faith is by obedience. Let's look at verse number two. The Bible says that, and the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence and turn thee eastward. Hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan, and it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. Look at verse 5. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord. For he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. In order to obey God, you have to first of all be in a place where you can consistently hear from him. When you're walking in your purpose for life, God will give you clear instructions, but it's up to you to obey them. For some of us, we hear God, but we don't fully obey him, and it gets us into trouble. God gave Elijah clear instructions to go back the other direction and hide by the brook of Cherith. Your obedience to God shows him where your heart is. If you cannot obey God in the simple instructions, then how can God give you increase at the next level? Pastor, what are God's simple instructions? Being faithful. Faithful in tithing, faithful in church attendance, faithful in dependability, faithful to the vision, faithful to the things of God. You see, it's the small things that God asks of you that he evaluates based upon your obedience to him that think many of us do not matter. How could giving 10% of my income, such a simple thing, matter a whole lot to God? Why? Because it's the simple things that prove whether or not you'll get increase at the next level. Let's go to Matthew 25 and 40. I want to share this with you, something the Lord shared with me. Wednesday night, I was walking this hallway, and God gave me this scripture. And the king shall answer unto them and say unto them, verily I say unto you, insomuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me. The way that people do ministry now, this is what God was saying. Your attitude, your faithfulness or your lack of faithfulness, your dependability, your mindset through the things to the things of God. God says, son, they don't do that to you. He said, they do it to me. Y'all are mighty quiet now, because now you're going through your mind and you're evaluating your attitude. You're evaluating your heart. You're evaluating how you view the things of God. Because you don't do it to Pastor Paul or First Lady Rita or next generation. You do it to God, because we're the vessels of God. God has called us and he has anointed us to do this particular thing. And so when you're not faithful, when you're not dependable, when you're not trustworthy, you don't do that to me. You do it unto God. Y'all quiet now. How you treat me, how you treat the things of the ministry, inevitably it's the same way that you treat God. And your actions show me and God where your heart really is. Right now we're at a stage, church, where we're taking a transition. God wants to move us and he wants to shift us and he wants to take us into another dimension. And we need trustworthy people. I say we need trustworthy people. I say we need dependable people. We need people that we can count on. People that won't let the man of God down or let God down, because your heart is in what you say. In other words, your mouth lines up with your actions of your heart. So God develops your faith through obedience. The third way that God develops faith is by provision. It has often been said that where there is vision, there is provision, because God provides for the vision. But I believe that provision not only comes from vision, but from obedience. Elijah was obedient to God. Watch this now. Therefore, God had a responsibility to provide for him. The ravens that brought God, that brought Elijah bread, are symbolic to who and what God will use to bless you. Let's look at the text. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. So blessings do not always come from people with money, education, and resources. Oftentimes, God will bless nobodies. People that you at least expect to receive increase, God will bless them because he sees their heart. And he sees that they're willing to pour their resources into the kingdom, because that's where their heart is and it's always been. Oh, y'all, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. There's some folk in here that have a heart to do the things of the kingdom, a heart to do the work of the ministry, but it's not in their hands. And God knew that if it was in your hands, it would line up with your heart. And so what God do, he'll give you provision, because he say, look, I know that when I give these things unto you, you won't forget about me and spend it at the restaurant or spend it on a new car or buy a new watch or a new cell phone. But you remember the Lord your God that brought you and poured into righteousness and poured into the things of the kingdom. There's a group of people in this ministry that God's going to pour major resources into your life that will help fund the things of God. He sees your heart, and he knows that if you had what you needed, you'd pour it into the kingdom without hesitation. And so he's going to release into your life supernaturally so that your hand can give what's always been in your heart. Then there's some of you in here right now that you have provision and you have access to finances and resources, but you consistently choose to pour them into other things instead of the kingdom of God. When it was in the power of your hand to give $100, you took the $100 and spent it at the restaurant. When it was in the power of your hands to sow mightily into the kingdom of God and there was a need, you took that extra and you put it somewhere else, something that ain't even eternal. I'd rather have tarnished jewels on my hand and raggedy clothes and drive a car that's smoking and take what little I have and pour it into kingdom than to have it and bump it into something that's not going to give me an eternal harvest. Do I have anybody in here that understands what I'm trying to preach to you this morning? Trying to develop your faith. I'm trying to develop your faith. I'm trying to get you to see where God wants to take us and what God wants to do with us. The day will come when we'll have to give an account to God because it was in the power of our hands to do it, but we chose to do otherwise with what God had blessed us with. Everything I have, my life, my resources, my energy, my strength, it goes towards the funding of the kingdom. And some of you are laughing now because I don't have everything I need. But God's going to turn it around. I say God's going to turn it around. Because God see my heart and God see what I want to do. And God see that I'll be obedient to him. Sure, there was times when I could have did other things with excess resources. But I chose in the time of famine to pour into the kingdom because I want an eternal sacrifice, an eternal harvest that'll never go away. What about you? When it was in the power of your hand to sow mightily and to give into the things of God and to pour into the kingdom, what decision did you make? Or what choice are you consistently making? Number four, am I doing all right? Y'all sure I'm doing all right? Because I ain't getting a whole lot of amens. Y'all know what that means, right? That means I got the right message. Number four, the fourth way that God develops your faith is by testing. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up. I want you to underline that. It came to pass after a while that the brook dried up. As God begins to develop your faith, he will often dry up your resources. He dries up your resources to show you and help you to understand that your provisions will always come from him. God has been and will always be your source. And so after a while, Elijah had been fed by the ravens at the brook that was a source of provision, but they dried up. Oh, Jesus. How do you know when God's getting ready to move? How do you know, Pastor, when you're on the verge of a breakthrough? How do you know when you're in the verge of a miracle? Your resources start drying up. having a good time with this word here today. When your resources diminish and your supply runs out, it's a sign that God's getting ready to move. The brook had dried up. Elijah was hungry and he was thirsty and he needed to hear a word from God because there was no other resource. My God, sometimes he'll put you in a place where you can't go to your mama, you can't go to your sister, you can't go to your brother, and God is the only one you can turn to. And when you get in a place like that, church, it's a sign that God's getting ready to move. It's a sign that a miracle's coming. It's a sign that provision is coming because the brook dried up. Am I preaching to anybody in here that today your brook is dried up? It was running with water. The ravens was bringing you food and bread. But now all that stopped. And the brook is dry. You couldn't get water if you tried, bruh. You couldn't get a raven to bring you a morsel of bread, much less a piece of meat. It's a sign that God's getting ready to move. Church, I think we just ought to just take a praise break right about here. It's a sign that God's getting ready to move. I said, I think we ought to just take a praise break. Somebody join me right now. We just need to take a praise break. We just need to take a worship break. We just need to honor the Lord because he's getting ready to move. He's getting ready to show us something. He's getting ready to provide. He was in a place where all he had was God, and that's where God wanted him. God will often put us in a place where all we have is him. And if God's all I got, then God's all I need. Oh, man, I might be in a place of testing, but I'm looking for a word from God, and it's going to give me direction. It's going to show me my next move because God promised that he'd never leave me or forsake me and that he'd be with me even until the ends of the world. So Elijah was in a place, church, where the brook had dried up, and he's seeking a word from God. And then verse 8 says, and then the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, somebody needs to be listening out because God's getting ready to speak to you. He's getting ready to show you. He's getting ready to talk to you concerning your condition, concerning where you are. He's getting ready to give you some instruction because you're in a place where you can't depend on anybody but him. And so number four, the final way is that, I'm sorry, this should have been four ways that God develops your faith. I said five, but number four is uncertainty. The word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. And behold, I have commanded a multimillionaire there to sustain you. Y'all Bible, read that. Arise and get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a multimillionaire. Your Bible read like that. Your Bible don't read like that. Behold, I have sustained a wealthy woman there. I've commanded a wealthy woman there to sustain. I'm reading out the Rick James. I'm sorry. It's the Rick James version. I picked this Bible up every week, seemed like. Daniel, you keep giving me the Rick James version when I come up here and keep messing Pastor up. The Bible says that I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain you. How in the world is a widow woman? Go with me in this text in your mind for a few moments. How in the world is a widow woman going to sustain the man of God? Could you imagine how Elijah felt when he had God say that to him, Roderick? The brook's dried up, no more ravens, no gas in the car, counts upside down in the negative. Oh, Lord. And God say that a widow woman's going to sustain it. I got questions, God. How in the world is a widow woman going to take care of what we need? So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering sticks. And he called her and said unto her, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in the vessel that I may drink. As God develops your faith, there is a degree of uncertainty as how everything will work out, where the money will come from, where the chairs coming from, where the people coming from, where the musicians coming from, where the greeters coming from. Because when you often focus on what you have, it's normally not enough as to what you need. But I heard Prophetess Juanita Bynum say that a way you know it's God is that if you don't have enough based upon what you need, because if you had enough, then you wouldn't need God. And I'm in a place right now where I don't have enough. I said I'm in a place right now, I don't have enough. So it's obvious that I'm right where God wants me, because if I had enough, I wouldn't need God. Am I doing all right? This blessing anybody? God has a way of making little become much. All the widow woman had, church, was some sticks, a vessel of water, and a handful of meal, and a little bit of oil. She had a little bit of oil, some sticks, and a vessel of water. And once all that was gone, she was planning to die. But how many of you know that it does not matter how much you have, but whatever you have, you got enough left for what God needs to work with. Oh, God. You may not have enough money in your bank, but that's enough for God to work with. You may not have the resources that the banker wants to see, but it's enough for God to work with. And here was this widow woman gathered the sticks. Said, that's the one. Oh, uncertainty. Uncertainty will build your faith. We got about 15 to 20 people on roll, and about 17 of them come faithfully, but it's enough for God to work with. Yes, I'm a little bit uncertain as to how things are going to come out. I don't know where the money's coming from. I don't know where the chairs are coming from. I don't know where the people are coming from. I don't know where the resources are coming from, but I hear the voice of the Lord saying, fear not and go. Put me first. Take what you have. Sow it into the kingdom. Sow it into the work of God, and watch me give you increase. Oh God, church, if you hear this word in here this morning, God's trying to build our faith. God's trying to build our faith. He's trying to build our faith, church. He's trying to take us into a level. There's a degree of uncertainty. Yes, we don't know how it's going to happen. We don't know how it's going to develop. But you know what? If we had 80 people in here now, folks would say, well, they had 80 folks, so they was able to get in the property. But when you got less than what you need, and you make a move, and you trust God, and you take a risk. Have any risk takers in here? And you say, God, for you I live, and for you I die. And if I'm going to take a risk, I'm going to pour it into the kingdom, because I'd rather die in the hands of God trying than like the leper standing by the gate wondering or not whether we should go in the property or not. The Bible says that the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. She and he and her house did eat many days. I close with this, church. If God be for us, I don't know if I got any believers in here, First Lady. I say, if God be for us, if God be for us, if God be for us, I don't know if I got any believers in here this morning, Rod. LaVar, you help me out every now and then. I say, if God be for us. Yeah, I can't get no help today from the sound, man. I say, if God be for us, Bernicia. If God be for us. If God be for us, sister or baby. Who can be against us? If God, come on, stand on your feet. Y'all act like God is not for us. God didn't bring us this far to leave us in the wilderness. Started this church 6-8 months ago, before we even started the date, I didn't have no money. You shouldn't tell that, but I don't care. I didn't have a dime in my pocket. All I had, Daniel, was my tithe. And God said, son, give me your tithe and I'll give you a church. So before any of you came and sat in the gym, and when we were sitting on the other side of the fence, y'all know the other side of the fence, and the Lord said, go, take the next 90 days and establish the ministry. We didn't know where we were going. We didn't know how we were going to get there. We didn't know what we were going to do. We didn't know. We didn't even know where we were going to have church at. But I obeyed God. I say I obeyed God. And God opened the door. We got in the school. We had the first service. 28 people showed up. $600-some-odd in offering. 6 people got saved. First day. 5 of them are gone, but one of them's still here, and really that's the one that matters because he's an armor bearer. Kept pushing. Didn't have a whole lot. But the meal of oil, the meal have not run dry.
That's right. Thank you, Lord.
The meal have not run dry.
Thank you, Lord. You're worthy.
The meal have not run dry. And if God can take us from the other side and bring us to this point here, he's not going to pull out the rug. I'm trusting it. I say I'm trusting it. I hope y'all are standing with me. I decree over this church that we shall eat many days. We shall touch many lives. We shall overcome. Why? Because God is developing our faith. If we can look back and see where God has brought us from in a few short months, certainly a few short months from today, we can look back in property and say, I remember when we were in the school. I remember when Mr. Hunter used to have to sit over here. I remember when we had to set up all this equipment on Friday night, tear it down on Sunday, set it back up on Wednesday. But look what the Lord has done. We got pews. We got our own sound system. We got our own parking lot. We got 24-hour access. We can go in there at 3 in the morning and don't nobody have to say anything. Because God brought us over. And you know what? I'd rather have him do it at this stage now anyway. Because I want to testify to the heathen at what God can do. I'd rather have him do it with 20 people than with 80, because with 20 it's impossible. But how many of you know? All things are possible to them that believe. Father, we thank you for your word today.